Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Peter Samuelson. He's a celebrated movie producer and serial pro-social entrepreneur. In 1982, he co-founded the Starlight Children's Foundation. Then in 1992, Star Bright World, co-founded with Steven Spielberg. His new book, Finding Happy, A User's Guide to Your Life with Lessons from Mine, is filled with gripping adventures and misadventures that demonstrate how possible the seemingly impossible often is. Welcome to the show, Peter.
I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And what a lovely idea for a book. How did it all come about?
Well, the third of my nonprofits, my charities, of which I'm the founder, is called First Star. It operates in the United Kingdom and across the United States. And what we do is we house, educate, and encourage school-aged teenagers in care, in other words, abused and neglected young adults. And we have them from British year 10 through 13, so a four-year period. And then we get more than half of them into colleges and universities, when the benchmark is actually more like 6% for kids in foster care. So in the process of doing that for 20-odd years, I've mentored literally hundreds of young adults, and I realized that I developed kind of pattern recognition of what are the two dozen things that bother them. And I realized by writing down those topics that I had chapter headings for a book. So I've written the book primarily, but not exclusively, for Gen Z, you know, 15 to 25 year olds, maybe a little bit older than that. And it's all the things that bother you, and that either you haven't got parents because you're in care, so you haven't got a mentor to talk to, or you do have parents, but they're not good people. And sometimes it's just awkward to talk to a family member. So the chapters are things like, what is a good risk? What is a bad risk? How can you tell the difference? And what I realized I was instinctively doing is using episodes from my checkered career as the film producer of some, you know, two dozen films. I mean, I've worked in some very strange places with some very strange people and had all sorts of adventures. And I found myself using those to illustrate the topics in the book. So it's called Finding Happy. Thank God it's selling very well. It's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and all the rest of it. And that's what it is.
Yeah, great. It must be really, really humbling working with these kids, and really inspiring seeing the transformation that you've helped them to achieve over the years.
Well, we a real full circle moment was last week when we kicked off our newest program at Emmanuel College, Cambridge, where 56 years earlier, I was a scared stiff on a scholarship, first in family, beginning undergraduate. And there we were last week with a initial cohort of 30 looked after kids, all sort of 15 to 18 years old. And we had a fine old time. The culminating moment, very Cambridge, was that we went punting in a flat bottom boat in the rain with umbrellas. So I thought that was a particularly British moment.
Absolutely. So do you very much divide your time between the UK and the US?
I do. You know, I'm double passport. And that's how I want it to stay. Who knows what the future holds in terms of government in either place, frankly.
Yes, quite.
So, you know, keep the family safe, keep one's career intact, and try and do some good in the world.
Yeah.
But what I discovered is that the toolkit of a film producer, you can take it sideways into founding, you know, it makes you impertinent and ambitious enough that you can imagine that you are going to make a difference in conquering some massive, great social problem, which nobody else much seems to have conquered. And thus it was with Seriously Ill Children Are Sad. What are we going to do about that? Starlight. Seriously Ill Teenagers, locked in a bubble in a hospital where no one can touch them without wearing a spacesuit. They feel disconnected, leading to Starbright with Steven Spielberg. First Star, why don't kids in care go to college? You can make a very strong argument that they should go to college more than anybody else because, yeah, you know, it's an extra 3-4 years of somewhere to live. You can't be couch surfing if you go to college, and we don't send them to universities unless the university will let them keep their dorm room during the vacations. So, it's one toolkit, but applied both on the pro-social side through what are now 7 charities. While I still, you know, I plonk on making my films, people go and see them. I pay the mortgage, I raise the family, and that's me.
Yeah. So how did you get into film production, and what kind of films have you worked on?
So I started off, they do what turns out to be a very clever thing. When you get in to Cambridge University, they send you I guess it's an email now, but back in my day, it was a telegram that arrived, bloke on a motorbike delivered it, that says, congratulations, scholarship, Emmanuel College, Cambridge. We will see you in October. So you then think, wait a minute, it's January. What am I supposed to do between now and October? So I fluke, luck, happy introduction. I met the partner of Steve McQueen, the actor, and he was in London on the way to Le Mans, France, to set up the latest Steve McQueen film, which was called Le Mans, all about motor racing. And he said, do you by any chance speak French? And I fibbed a little bit, and I said, I do, actually. And he said, well, are you any good? And I said, yeah, I'm bilingual, actually, which was slightly an exaggeration. But he said, okay, you're hired. Can you be in Le Mans on Monday? And this was about Wednesday of the previous week. So I got in my little putt-putt car and drove down through France to Le Mans, and I spent 10 months there. And I learned the film industry, and I was the unit interpreter, and I ran around interpreting, and it was a dysfunctional film, but every time somebody got fired, I got promoted, and they got bored with having to come with me for some meeting. And they used to say, well, you go and do it. You don't need me to come with. So I became a production assistant, and then a production manager, and then eventually a line producer. And then I worked for, after Cambridge, there was no work in the UK. It was a dreadful time, actually. Furthermore, my degree was in English literature. And other than being a teacher, I don't know what you do with that. I loved it while I was doing it, but it's not exactly a career, runway to take off to stellar career. But I worked for an American producer. We filmed the Monte Carlo rally. And he said to me at the end of it in Monte Carlo, what do you want to come back to America? Because you don't know anything about post-production editing. And I said, well, would I have a job? And he said, you would, I'll give you a job. And I said, and like, would I earn enough to live somewhere? He said, well, my family, we have a spare bedroom. You can use that for a month or so while you get on your feet. And yeah, we'll pay you and you'll have enough to get a car and all of that. So I came out to Los Angeles. He got me a visa and I worked, and eventually I got a green card. And then eventually one day I went down there and got sworn in as an American. I think Americans have forgotten the American dream. It's a pretty dark time in American democracy at the moment, but I still love this country and I love its people. And I'm privileged. I go to and fro. I make films in the UK. I make films in the United States. And my charities are in both countries.
How wonderful. What a lovely life it sounds like you're having.
Well, it's a privilege, you know, and I've made some, you know, silly films, Revenge of the Nerds, that's one of mine, Return of the Pink Panther, another one. but I've made some serious films, the biography of Oscar Wilde, called Wilde, with Jude Law, Stephen Fry, Vanessa Redgrave. I made Arlington Road with Jeff Bridges and Tim Robbins. I think I'm up to number 27, but it is the same toolkit. And I have to tell you, joy, and this is what my book is about, if you want to find happy, you have to help other people. And remember that I'm writing it for underprivileged kids, and it seems counterintuitive for them to, you know, get out of their own space and help someone. But actually, when we encourage them to do that and they find someone who needs their help, all of a sudden we have these junior philanthropists that we help to do wonderful things, teaches them about the meaning of life, teaches them about the golden rule. And after we do our lessons in random acts of kindness and pay it forward, all of our 15, 16-year-olds, they all seem to be taller to me because they get agency. They get self-esteem by helping other people. But I think it's true not only for looked-after kids. I think it's true for all of us. The greatest things, the greatest joy that I've ever had, and it's what the book is about, is in, you know, realizing I can help other people. Well, why don't I do that? And then, you know, it brings other people who raise their hand and say, well, can I help you? You know, I know how to do this, that, and the other. And you say, yeah, it's a team sport. Please, let's do it together. And you meet extraordinary people through doing acts of charity, and you improve your own life. Look, it's how I met my wife, you know. She was the one in the very first meeting of the Starlight Children's Foundation. I had cast the meeting after my cousin and I did one wish for a dying child, and I called a meeting in the boardroom after work, and I said, you know, maybe we could do it a few more times a year. And I had invited who I thought I would need, a lawyer, an accountant, a publicist, someone who understands hospitals and this, that, and the other. And when the lawyer said, so I need to form a charity, right? And we all said, yes. And he said, what do you want to call it? And I hadn't given it any thought. And it was the accounting lady who I had had one date with, and I had invited her back in my single days, very beautiful. She was the one who said, you know that children's rhyme, starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might have this wish I wish tonight. Why don't we call it the Starlight Children's Foundation? And we all said, yeah, that sounds good. And the graphic designer said, oh, I can see the logo in my mind's eye. It's a child reaching up for a star. We all said, yeah, that sounds good. So that was the beginning of Starlight. And that was kind of my second date. And, you know, eventually we had a whole lot of other dates, and then we fell in love and got married, and we've had four kids and three grandkids thus far. We pray for more. So yes, I've already had my joy from doing something that's good for the world. And I think it's a life hack. It's a trick. It's a thing you can do. Anyone can do it. You don't have to start your own charity. You can go volunteer for somebody else's charity. And yeah, you can
I was going to say, you know, you need the resources and the connections and things like that to start a charity, don't you? But there's a lot that people can do if they want to help and get involved in other people's charity, because that's the thing, feeling helpless, thinking, oh, there's awful things that are happening in the world and wanting to do something about it. And a lot of people don't know where to start.
Absolutely. Look, I've taught this class, Random Acts of Kindness and Pay It Forward, to hundreds of kids in care, and they don't have two pennies to rub together. And what we do is the first class, 90 minutes, I say, okay, you're walking along the sidewalk, the pavement, and there's an old lady in rags lying fast asleep face down. You have three choices. Stop, put some money under her arm, walk on. or you can stop, wake her up, give her some money, walk on, or you can just walk straight on past and don't pay any attention to her. Which do you do and why do you do it? Leads to a conversation about the golden rule. You know, it's in 170 religions. When we see as human beings something unfair, unjust, we, not all of us, because there are some really evil people, but most people feel the urge to do something to, you know, make it level again, make it a little more fair. And then I say, you'll want to come to the class tomorrow because something amazing is going to happen. And that is, we are going to give, because we've got a wonderful donor called Mort, who wants it, his money spent this way. We're going to give each of you 100 euros. And they say, we're getting 100 euros. And I say, no, you don't get to keep them. You have to give them away. You have to write a 300-word essay to whom or to what you wish your 100 euros to go. And then a couple of weeks later, we're going to go back and see, did the unhoused gentleman, did he buy the shoes or did he buy a bottle of brandy? And, you know, sometimes philanthropy doesn't work. It is the most empowering thing. And those little essays, my name is Jose. I'm adding a little bit of money of my own because it takes 30 euros for them not to euthanize a dog down at the shelter. And I'm going to save some puppies. And the reason I'm going to do that is because when I was last down there, I looked into the eyes of a puppy that had been very badly beaten. And I saw my own eyes because I was very badly beaten as well. Oh. So I'm saving some puppies, you know, stuff like that. My mom is in prison for another 2 years, 7 months and 3 days. They always know exactly how long the relative will be there. She did some very bad things, including to me, but I know she hates the toiletries and I love her. And I'm going to put the money in her prison account so she can buy better shampoo. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a privilege, a privilege to work with these kids.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know if addictive is the right word, but I guess what you do is quite addictive. You just want to keep doing more and more and more.
Yes, I shall stop when I drop, you know, because it's the happiest stuff that I do. There's nothing the matter with producing films, you know, to stand at the back of an auditorium when you premiere a film. And if it's a comedy, if they laugh in all the right places, that's a great joy. I take nothing away from that. It is how I've, you know, paid the mortgage and raised the family and all of that. But I have to tell you, the greatest happiness, and I wrote the book about it, how you find happy is get off your duff and go and help other people. You can either do something all on your own, or you can go join someone else's charity. Look to the left, look to the right, realize how quickly you get promoted. For a young adult, you volunteer for a charity, they eat good ideas for breakfast. All you have to do is to have a good idea. All of a sudden, you're the vice president of implementing the good idea as a volunteer. You meet people who help you in your career, and you just meet wonderful people. As I said, I met my wife that way.
Yeah, lovely. Well, if people want to read your book, it's called Finding Happy, A User's Guide to Your Life with Lessons from Mine. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Peter Samuelson, who we've been chatting with today. Peter, thank you so much for joining us and keep on spreading the joy.
Well, thank you so much. You too. And in the book near the back is my email address, which the publisher thought I was stupid to put in there. But I get the most wonderful emails and I am open to a feedback loop. So if you want to find happy, buy the book, Amazon, etc.
Fabulous. Peter, thank you so much. You take care.
And you. Thank you.